Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, I'm trying to think of that text, but it says that you know man's heart, and you know that I don't have the capacity to know the gospel for myself, much less preach it. But you have said, go ye therefore and preach the gospel, saying, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So we expect that we will receive a blessing today, not because I have the words, but because of your promise. Under the subject of the gospel preaching, you have promised also yourself to be here with us, to be with me, as we think, as we speak. May we understand, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to our principal text, 2 Corinthians 3:18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And it reads, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That line, are changed into the same image. And we have another line, beholding the glory of the Lord. Which do you imagine comes first, the changing into the image of God or the beholding the glory of God? The Bible's not always written in order like that. Sometimes it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the next line says, for it is God which worketh in you. So the second thing is actually the first thing, but not here. Beholding, we become changed. And so I'm hoping that we will behold God today, beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. This is a review of something that I've said here before, something that is strange about God, odd about God, is that he will command something, then he will do it. And so we're going to revisit that idea today. Genesis 1:6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God gives the command, let there be a firmament. Verse 7, something strange. And God made the firmament. Strange behavior to us. God commands it, and then he does the thing that he commands. Let's see that again. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. We can read verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16, strange again. And God made two great lights. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights. And in verse 16, and God made lights. Very strange. When I command someone to do something, I don't then go do it myself. I look and you know, make sure they're going to do it. You know, go clean your room up, and then I survey. But not God. He commands, then he does. One more for Genesis. We'll go to verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the firmament of the heaven. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. Verse 21, and God created. God commands, and he does. This is the physical creation. And I've presented this idea to someone, and they said, yes, yes, yes. What? You say, but?
I just knew there was a but.
Yeah. But. Yes, God, but. And we turn our eyes away from God and we look to ourselves, which is natural. We cannot but do that. When Jesus saw the draught of fish, or did I say Jesus? When Peter saw the draught of fishes that were given to them by Jesus, it says, when Peter saw it, he said, I am a sinful man. And he's seeing the great love of God, and he saw it, and he said, turned his eyes away. It's just a natural human thing to do that. That's why we need an author of faith and a finisher of faith. We cannot believe of ourselves. Anyhow, what I'm saying is this idea does not apply only to physical creation, but it applies also to the creation of a new heart. We know this because David, he said, create in me a new heart. Does it say clean or new? A clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. David's understanding of being born again was an act of creation. So looking at the way that God creates things, we can see how he will create in us a new heart. In the physical lesson of creation, we learn about the way that God redeems us. So let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 12. Jeffrey lent me his Bible for this sermon, and it is smooth. Might have to borrow this again, brother. These pages turn nicely. This is John 15, 12. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Please. So here's Jesus giving a command. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus giving a command to do what? If God commands and then he does, him giving the command, we should expect him to do what? Sit back and wait for us to make it happen. No. In the intercessory prayer, something was said like this. We have need of love, but we cannot produce it. So when Jesus says, these things I command you, that ye love one another, he cannot be telling us to do it. If he were a man, he would. But because he is God, And because the divine nature functions commanding and doing, authoring and finishing. Does anyone have a text in their mind that demonstrates that God is the one that causes us to love? It's okay if you don't have, I have some written down here. But just in case someone has one springing forth. You can't use that one. Oh, what was it? No, say that again. What was it? Oh, yeah. Excellent. Thank you. Create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. God commands us to love, and then he creates in us a new heart. Let's turn to Romans 5:5. Jesus is commanding us to love one another. And if Jesus is God, he will command and he will do. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. These things I command you, that you love. He commands. Romans 5:5. He does what he commanded. Let's see another one. John 4:19. Do we have it? That's unfortunate. I don't think that's the right text. 1 John 4:19. Let's go there instead. Yeah, 1 John 4:19. Peter, James, John, Jude, Revelation. That's the one? Yeah. That's the one. We love him because he first loved us. In order to love, what must happen? Yeah, God must do something. Yeah, so he commands and he does it. We love him because he first loved us. God commands a thing, he does the thing that he commands. Okay, one more. And I'm praying that this is the verse I wrote down. John 17:26. John 17:26. All right. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This text speaks of a love that is in his disciples. Yes? Can you read that? Can you see that? Okay. I have declared unto them thy name, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. In order for the love of God, in order for us to have love, God must do something first. So when he commands us to love one another, he is not telling us that we should do it. We do not have it in us to love. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when the Spirit of God was shut out from the antediluvian world, it says God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How do you ask a person with that description to love his neighbor? Impossible. So when Jesus commands us to love one another, he is speaking about something that he will do. He commands, he does. Faith. Let's turn to John 20:27. John chapter 20, verse 27. Here's another command. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. Is that a command? Be not faithless, but believing. Does it come from me? Does it come from God? Does God do that which he commands? Well, let's see that. Jesus says, be not faithless, but believing. Does anyone have a text that demonstrates that God is the one that causes us to believe? John 15:5. What does that say? I am the vine, you're the branches. So Jesus is the source, and we are an extension of him. All that we have, oh, did you want to preach? No. Say that again. Yes, and without me, ye can do nothing, which would include believing. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Any other texts? Texts that demonstrate that faith is something that God produces.
How about John 29?
John chapter 20?
Yeah,
verse 9?
Verse,
oh, John chapter 29?
John 20:29.
Okay, John 20:29. Let's look at it. John 20, chapter 20, verse 29. I don't see what you're seeing. Oh, okay, thank you. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. How is it possible to become blessed? Can I bless you? No, the blessing, holiness, happiness requires the presence of God himself. Blessed are they who have not seen yet have believed. They believe because of the blessing. Because of the presence of God himself, they believe. Amen?
Amen.
We have another one.
Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Jesus says, be not faithless, but believing. And because he is God and not a man, he commands faith, he himself provides it.
I was looking for it.
John 6, 29. And if you guys are giving me these texts, you got to be prepared to explain it for me, because some of these ideas I've never considered before. So please help me to understand the idea. John 6, 29. All right. Wow. Okay. We're live, yes? Oh, I'll read it for the tape. John 6, 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." Jesus commands faith, but he commands his own work. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Jesus commands love. He gives love. Jesus commands faith. He gives faith. Jesus commands repentance. Let's turn to Matthew 3, verse 2. That's Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. This is a command from Jesus. I'll read verse 1 just so it sounds right. Oh, this isn't Jesus. I was looking for the text where Jesus said it, but we can use this because this is God speaking through John. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Another command, repent. What does it mean?
Confess your sins and sin no more.
Wrong question. We see that God commanded us to love. And because it's God, we expect that he will do it, because it's his nature to command and to do. Jesus commands us to believe. And because it's God and not a man, we read that and we say, he's not telling me to do it. This is a promise that he will do it, the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah? And so when the Bible tells us to repent, should we then assume that repentance is the one thing that God commands, but doesn't do himself, he expects us to do? What do we say? Is repentance the one thing that God puts into puts, you know, I don't know how to phrase it. You know what I'm trying to say though, right? He gives it to us to accomplish.
He gives us a conviction to repent.
The conviction?
He still provides.
Amen. Gives us the conviction. Yes.
I have a verse. Romans
2:4. All right. Let's turn to Romans 2:4. No. Can you read it? And then I'll read it into the mic.
"Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance."
All right. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." God commands repentance, and he himself does it. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. And it would be lovely to know how long I've been speaking, if someone could let me know how long. Yeah, that would be lovely. We want Acts chapter 5. Yeah, me neither. 17 minutes? Okay. All right. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Him, meaning Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist, God through John the Baptist commanded to repent, and God does that which he commands. He commands love. He provides love. He commands faith. He provides faith. He commands repentance, and it says, him hath God exalted for to give repentance. This is steps to Christ. Repentance is beyond the reach of our own power to accomplish. It is obtained only from Christ, who ascended up on high and has given gifts unto men. As I close, I would like to reemphasize the message of the offering that I presented maybe last week or the week before about Zacchaeus. So let's turn to Luke 19. All right, I'll start with verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Let's read verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. Verse 2 says that Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Ellen White writes that the publicans were not merely instruments of Roman oppression, but they were extortioners on their own account, enriching themselves at the expense of the people. This is not a friend of God. I remember seeing Zacchaeus in the children's Bible movies, and he wasn't such a bad guy. He was just a guy with a big house, and he's like, where's Jesus at? And it was very soft. But if you look at the details, Zacchaeus was not interested in God. He was not a friend of God. He was an enemy of God. The publicans themselves were in opposition to God, and it says Zacchaeus was the chief. So he was the worst one. the report of one who had borne himself with kindness and courtesy toward the proscribed classes had spread far and wide, and this chief of the publicans was awakened the longing for a better life. Zacchaeus had been overwhelmed, amazed, and silenced at the love and condescension of Christ in stooping to him so unworthy. Now, love and loyalty to his new found master unsealed his lips. He will make public his confession and repentance. Look at all that had to be done to bring Zacchaeus to the place of repentance. We emphasize the words of Zacchaeus, "Behold, half my goods I give to the poor," as though it began there with Zacchaeus. But in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Verse 8 could not have happened if verse 1 had not have happened. And verse 1 could not have happened if Jesus had never been born here in the first place. So it takes an incredible amount of power to bring someone to the place where they repent. So we could know that when God says repent, he's not asking us to do it. It's impossible. It is a delicate matter to deal with minds. Only he who reads the heart knows how to bring men to repentance. Only his wisdom can give us success in reaching the lost. You may stand up stiffly feeling I am holier than thou, and it matters not how correct your reasoning or how true your words. They will never touch hearts. The love of Christ, manifested in word and act, will win its way to the soul when the reiteration of precept or argument would accomplish nothing. There are those who have had meager opportunities, who have walked in ways of error because they knew no better. They knew no better way to whom beams of light will come. As the word of Christ came to Zacchaeus, "Today I must abide at thy house," so the word will come to them, and those who were supposed to be hardened sinners will be found to have hearts as tender as a child's because Christ has designed to notice them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for thank you for presenting yourself to us, and we pray that by your grace we would do more beholding of your face. There's a song that says, "We have tried so hard to do all the things you want us to, but we must be made anew." May we look to Jesus for all that we need. We do not say it with our mouths, but our actions indicate that we believe that when you command love, you expect us to love. When you command faith, you expect us to believe. But Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And we love him because he first loved us. May we come to a better conception of who you are. For Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." In Jesus' name, amen.